Good morning and a very warm welcome to our morning service. I just have a couple of announcements first. Barry's Big Quiz, that's our aid for our missionary support for Peru and Rwanda. And because we are recording before the event, we will give you the outcome details next week. If you want to make a late donation, please contact either Pat Woods or Tom Shaw and they will help you through it. Our next announcement is for Life Lounge. Life Lounge online will take place on Sunday the 28th of March at 7:30. One of our elders will be interviewing the Reverend Colin McGaw. And we invite you to come to listen in and learn about Colin's faith journey. If you happen to be unable to join us on the 28th, you can join us any night or evening through the next week. A special Life Lounge online is going to take place on the 31st of March, and that's a Wednesday at 7:30, and the details of that will come later. Every morning, Monday morning at 12 to 1, Jim McKnight will be here to take donations for the storehouse. He also will take any of our envelopes at that time as well. I have great pleasure and to give a very warm welcome to a friend of Ballycrocken, a past minister of Trinity Bangor, and our convener at our last vacancy, the Reverend Ricky Montgomery, is going to lead our service today.
Thank you very much for that welcome. It's lovely to be back here in Ballycrocken and sharing with you. Listen to what it says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We're going to praise the Lord now in the words of hymn 485, All I Once Heard Dear.
Possessed by faith, what I could not lose. knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I
let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your provision, for how you bless us and meet our needs. And yet we know that you use us to reach others, you send us to pour our love into other people's lives. You send us to give strength to those in need. Help us to see that we have been called to such a ministry. May your church reflect you so that those looking in will see a people who show what it's like to live with Christ as their head, Christ as their Lord and Master. In these days of COVID-19, help us who claim to be your disciples to pray for this land, to pray for this world. Help us not to fear the future, but to pray for revival and be excited about the future. For those who have experienced the worst of times, bring comfort and strength, and remind them that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And as we focus on you, Lord, and as we praise, as we worship you, release your healing power into our lives. For those who have never bowed before you in surrender, who have never asked you to forgive them and cleanse them and fill them, may today be that day when they finally come to you. May today be a new step in their history, a step that will change everything, because you change everything. You make us into new people. So Lord, hear our prayers. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, young people, there's a verse in John 6, verse 48. It simply says there, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Now, bread seems to be part of the diet of most cultures. Here in Ireland, we have soda farls, part of the Ulster fry. I remember coming home from school, and I used to call in with my granny on the way home. And on certain days, she would have the griddle out, and she was cooking soda farls. And she would give me a farl, and she would butter it, and the butter would be dripping off it because it was hot. We go to Italy, we have ciabatta, which is of course bread with a hard crust. I really love ciabatta. When you sit down in Italy, they give everyone bread with their dinner. In India we have naan bread, which is a soft bread. You can get garlic naan or sweet naan called pissoire naan. In France, we have a type of crusty bread, and of course, croissant, which is usually eaten at breakfast time. Then in Germany, we have pretzel bread, different breads from different people all over the world. Now, Jesus said he was the bread of life. And the word for bread in the Hebrew is lechem. It's something we encounter in the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, we're to pray for God to give us our daily bread. And lechem can mean bread, but it can also mean food in general. And it can refer to not only food, but to God's provision for us as a whole. In other words, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're asking God to provide for all our needs. So when we pray for God to give us our daily bread, we're asking for God to help us in everything and to be everything we will ever need. So when Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life, he's saying, I will be with you at all times, in the good times and in the bad. I will provide for you in every situation. I am everything you will ever need. Amen. We're going to sing praise now to God, and the words of Jesus' love is very wonderful.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful.
Oh, wonderful love. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So you can't get over it, so low. You can't get under it, so wide. You can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. Get under it, so wide, you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love.
So high,
so high, you can't get over so it. So low, you can't get under so it.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we approach you in and through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very aware that we're unworthy and sinful in our attitudes and in our deeds, but when we approach you in Jesus' name, we know that you can do, we can do so only because of your mercy and grace. Again, we know that we can have this ongoing relationship with you. And we can have that because of what Jesus did for us. Something we could never do for ourselves. That as Jesus died and rose again, something wonderful happened in the spiritual realm, whereby we can know reconciliation with you, Lord, as we come to you in faith. Therefore, with confidence that we come and make our requests known to you. James reminds us that we must ask with pure motives. So as we pray, may we pray with pure motives, that our aim ultimately will be that you, Lord, you alone will be glorified. As we approach this time of moving back into church buildings and seeking to get our congregations back to a greater sense of community and fellowship, help us, Lord, to be patient. Help us, Lord, to be wise. Help us to move in accordance with your will and purposes. So many people are afraid, and this fear is attacking their personal relationships. We need each other. No one is an island. We cannot stand alone. So, Lord, would you help us to reach out to each other, making sure that we keep safe and that our actions will protect others. Especially we think of those who are living alone, those who are vulnerable, those who in lockdown seldom saw anyone, and the threat of another lockdown terrifies them. Bless them and protect them mentally at this time. Their children go back to school, keep them safe, and keep those who teach and help safe as well. The great burden on our leadership at this moment, the leadership of our country, give those in charge wisdom as to how they should govern and how they should lead us in the months ahead. Teach us through all of this and drive us to our knees in prayer. Light up this land with your love. Bring revival to our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing praise to God again in the words of 500, God of grace, amazing wonder. In your everlasting grace. Our reading this morning is taken from Luke 15 and reading from verse 11 to 24. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' The father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of his precious and inspired word. Have you ever watched a child look into a mirror? First, the child doesn't recognize himself. He then sees the mother and reacts, usually laughs, but the child is curious about this strange small figure that's looking straight at him. Then suddenly the expression changes. The child, the toddler, in a moment understands. He sees not a stranger, but himself. He sees in the stranger one who acts in similar ways, and in his little mind he says, "That's me." So it is with parables. Especially, I think, in this parable. We often only listen to it as an interesting tale, a story about a bad son with whom we have very little to do. And perhaps when we read from this passage, this morning, you were thinking of someone who, like the younger son, left home and rejected his family and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might even feel a little sorry for him, although we figure that at his lowest he gets what he deserves. As we hear the parable, we think that perhaps there's something, some similarity, some familiarity with what we're hearing. Then suddenly, you hear the story. As you listen to and understand the parable, you say in amazement, "That's me. It's me. There I am. The irresponsible son. That's me." This parable of the Lord was not told to entertain, but to educate. And not to educate us about others, but about other rebellious children, but to cut to the core of our own being, to the heart of each of us, and to teach us about our own relationship with our Heavenly Father. And when we carefully gaze into the parables of Jesus, we suddenly see ourselves. And the Father is the Father in heaven who waits for us. It is Jesus Christ himself who welcomes us. So stand here quietly with me this morning. Look carefully in the mirror. God's word. Our culture today is the culture of this young man So many have lost themselves because they have lost connection to God. Our culture today, and it's a culture that infiltrates the church in many ways, is based upon the empty dreams of homeless people who walk empty streets looking for something to give them meaning and fulfillment, and they're lost. We too are in danger of being lost in a far country, disconnected from the Father, squandering our inheritance. Are we spending our inheritance, wasting it, and frivolous living in a far country, far from the Father's house? We're so busy doing things that ultimately don't really matter. Fill our time and fill our minds. We fill them with things that stop us thinking about eternal issues. We're so busy because we're afraid to sit still. We need to turn on the television, surf the internet. We need diversions, sports, entertainment, work. There's little time for the Father. We live in an age of diversion and entertainment like no other age. We live in the universe of the satellite dish to bring into our homes the emptiness of the far country. Because we're far from home, we're afraid to be alone. There must be something to do. Sociologists and church leaders alike are realizing that in our modern day society, people are being alienated. They're very much isolated and don't feel they belong. And as people get older, the sense of isolation gets worse. The challenge to us in the church is to reach out to people. Let them have a sense of belonging and they will believe. You see, people are attracted by relationships and belonging. And when people spend time in relationships linked to a Christian community, they can and often do grow closer to Jesus before making a wholehearted decision for Christ. One of the strengths of the Celtic Christians was that they created communities. And these acted as retreats, communes, mission stations, hotels, hospitals, social action centers, schools, universities, art centers. They were powerhouses within their local community. And through them, unbelievers witnessed the living faith of the believers. We too need to create communities, a culture that's far removed from the culture of the world. That as people look in, they'll see what the church should be like. As they live in a splintering, in a collapsing society, they might see how God intends man to live. We witness as we live out God's way, as we build his kingdom. By the way we live. This young man left his community. He left his father's house. He thought that leaving home somehow brought him freedom. He thought that leaving his father's house led to liberty. But he only found bondage. He thought that leaving his father's estate brought wealth. But he only found poverty. That young man, his friends would have thought, how free, how marvelously free, so independent of his father. He's the real thing. The man who lives his life, he sees fit. The young man knew the truth. He knew that he was experiencing his bondage, his chains. And that's why so many of us fill our time with things that help us to forget that we're bound. If we're outside of Christ. Oh yes, the world saw the facade so beautiful and fine, but inside it was a botched up life. The young man heard the rattle of the chains that bound him to his lostness. So he went from bad to worse. He hired himself out to a Gentile. This young man, never dependent on any man, subject only to his father, was now a hired hand. So he lost not only himself, but in a sense he lost his sonship. Now he's well and truly on the road to destruction. What about you? Where are you? Are you on that road? Maybe your answer is that you're doing okay, you're content with your life, but the truth is that you've never really looked at the reality of the situation because, like so many, you have spent most of your life avoiding being honest with yourself and with God. You may not end up in jail. You may not end up a drunken fool. Someone who has lost friends, family, and dignity. But if you have not come to the Father through Christ, then you're on the road, that road to destruction. It was Chris Rea who wrote and sang the song, Road to Hell. And it says this, you must learn this lesson fast. Learn it well. This ain't no upward mobile freeway. Oh no, this is the road said. This is the road. This is the road to hell. Whether you recognize it or not, if you've not come home to the Father, if you have not given yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are on the road to destruction, on the road to hell. You know, each day goes past, you're that bit closer to what will be complete and utter destruction. Greek text says that this young man attached himself to a citizen of that country, a kind of glues himself to some nobleman, to a rich landowner. And how ironic, he had been the son of a rich landowner, one who had servants and hired laborers. He had been the inheritor of all of that. He had been the son, but now the son becomes a slave, a servant, a hired man. He was now under a master, a man who had little interest in him, who had no love for him, who merely saw him as a means to getting a job done. And to make things worse, he was given the lowest job that existed for a Jew, looking after and feeding pigs. And even among the Gentiles of that day, this would have been a despised job. In Egypt, for example, the people who fed and looked after pigs were banned from any and every temple. This was the bottom of the social class, even among Gentiles. For the Jew, it was especially degrading because pigs were unclean to Jews. So this young man was rejecting everything. Everything he had in his past, even his culture and religion. Sometimes God brings us to the point of desperation. Sometimes through circumstances, he shouts at us so that we're shaken from our indifference, from our blindness. This is what happened here. This young man had nothing to hold on to. His money had gone. His standing had gone. He was in a desperate situation. And probably for the first time, he began to appreciate something what he had before. Have you come to that place where you see the love and the grace, the mercy of God and what you might have in Christ? The young man made a significant discovery there among the pigs. And it was this so-called freedom, the freedom that he had yearned for and had gone after, resulted in lostness. He was lost, and the only way out was to go back to the Father, throw himself on his mercy. Let me ask you, what do you want out of life? Joy, peace, and meaning? Well, like this young man, the only way to get it is to go to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Throw yourself upon his mercy and grace. Everyone is looking for happiness. Everyone's looking for contentment, but so many people are looking in the wrong places. So this young man decided to return, and so he repented. He was received by his Father. And what a picture of God, our Heavenly Father. We sometimes think of God in terms of being a bit like a managing director who sacks us if we put a foot out of place. Yes, God is just and fair and will not make excuses for our wrongs, but will deal with them accordingly. However, as we give ourselves over to Him, He receives us with love, and all this is made possible because Jesus died for us and took our place and paid for our sin. And can you imagine the joy the Father had? It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The picture of God and us. Tony Campolo was preaching at Spring Harvest in Ayr in March 1989, and I was there with some other people. His topic was the pain of Christ. He basically said the indifference of the middle-class church was the pain of Christ. He's a very funny man, and he had us laughing, and then the next minute he literally had people in tears. He told the story of when he was on an aeroplane and feeling tired and just wanted to rest, but he couldn't because there was this little girl just behind him who kept singing out, I'm going to see my daddy. I'm going to see my daddy. And he said he didn't feel very Christian towards her. To make things worse, she kept eating crisps and slurping Coke. Crisps and Coke. Crisps and Coke. I'm going to see my daddy. Then he said that crisps smell okay and Coke smells okay. Put the two together and mix them up in a little girl's stomach. They smell revolting. And the little girl was sick all over the place as they were coming in. She just was sick all over the place, down her front. So not only had she annoyed him with her singing and eating, but now there was a bad smell, although the singing stopped until she got off the plane. As they got into the airport, there was a crowd standing waiting for them. Tony wanted to see where Daddy was, who he was. So he looked over the crowd. Then he saw him. This man was dressed in white trousers, bright shirt. He was immaculate. Tony said to himself, I bet that's Daddy. But he was right. And he said that this little girl was sick all over her, made a beeline for Daddy. Daddy, with his immaculate shirt and trousers, ran and threw his arms around this little girl, sick and all. Then Tony said, that's my Heavenly Father. Runs to us, throws his arms around us, sinful and all that we are. He loves us. He forgives us as we return. This young man, I'm sure, was filthy after all. He had spent the last part of his time away feeding and looking after pigs. The father ran and threw his arms around his son. Can you get that picture into your mind? The God of all creation, the God who has always been and will always be, the God who spoke and everything came into being, that Almighty God wants to run to you, yes, to you, throw his loving arms around you, kiss you and forgive you, and love you, give you a new life and a new community which includes Christians all over the world, but also those who are in heaven itself. How are you going to react this morning? Are you going to continue in spiritual poverty, in a life that has no ultimate meaning or direction? Or are you going to repent and return so that you can be received into God's family, become a son or a daughter of the King? Amen. In closing, we sing praise to God in the words of 402. Here is love, vast as the ocean.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as a flood. When the prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood.
Benediction together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.